Well, yeah, what we've got for the workshop today are two items, walkabout of the site, so Mark and Bill can show us, exactly what the project on that change order was. And I've got some updated diagrams here. You want one, Amy? What we told Mark to do, if you remember last time, there were some ancillary things that were in that $126,000. Things like the work they did when we had the fuel leak and stuff. We told them, take all that out. We owe you that money, and we'll pay that separately. But the change order, make it just to what we need to do for the regrading and drainage around the new building, and not have all these other little, $1,000 here, $1,000 there type stuff. So the new change order. Instead of 124, is 118. Now, we've got this on the agenda for this afternoon in the business meeting, so this morning, what I would suggest is over there and let them show us exactly what it is, so we're comfortable to ask questions if we need to make sure we understand exactly what this project is. And it really is, after revisiting it after the last meeting, and I think Dave, you were over there too, with the raising of the building, has caused drainage and grading issues all across the front of the building, which also impacts the adjacent washdown area. So I think I'm comfortable that we can say it's part of the project and not a separate project.
This being the front of the building, right?
Yeah. The bottom of your diagram is towards the marina. Say for the gas station be in the upper right. And also, if you remember, the city, we could have bought the city, but because of the water, city water main, it runs parallel to Jefferson Street. We couldn't build on top of that. So we could have either moved the water main, which would have been hugely expensive, or try to get the city to do it, which would have been an enormous amount of time, and we didn't have the luxury of time for this project. So we end up having the building, was it 10 feet closer towards the water, which also affects the grading, because now you're closer to the street. We were originally going to have perpendicular parking. Now we can't do that. You'll see on your diagram there's going to be two or three parallel parking.
No parking in the back.
Well, there's the three parallel spaces on Jefferson, right in back of the building.
So you guys will all have to park down by the CBN building
and walk up. Yeah.
With the program guys.
And the other thing would be nice is if you guys could park over there by the gas station to displace those bums that are in the
Well, that's what my plan is, actually.
Yeah.
And I talked to the police about that. I was concerned this last weekend because of the crab opening, and you could put two or three truck and trailers there.
Right.
So I went up to the police station, but they haven't done anything. The other thing, because moving the building forward and losing those perpendicular parking spaces over to the right, just above the fuel tanks, you'll see an ADA parking space.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, that was going to be three full parking spaces. But because one of them, we can't put the ADA space in front of the building now, so it has to be over there. And because of the, you see the hashed area, you essentially lose one of the parking spaces because of the requirement for the ADA.
So is there a reason that you can't have an ADA space be a parallel parking space?
You don't have that.
You don't have that width.
Access.
Hey, you got the whole street there.
Yeah, but you can't have the guy getting out of his van wheelchair into the street.
Yeah, but then you have the street there, and then you have the sidewalk on the other side, which all you'd have to do is just lower the curb to the sidewalk and make it so the little wheelchair ramp would go down. And actually, the wheelchair ramps go down until they hit the ground anyway, and so you can just go down until they hit the ground on the sidewalk.
I don't know.
You might want to check with, well, Richard won't be here today, but that's, that curb is purposely elevated.
Right.
And, so I don't know if you could do that. If you lowered the curb, you couldn't have the ADA access to getting into the building. There was something that Richard had to do code-wise that prevented that.
Is he going to be here today?
No, he's out now.
But we don't lose a space because we have the spaces in front, you know, for regular parking.
Right. But what I'm saying is that if we put that ADA spot in front and use the sidewalk as the hash marks that are beside the ADA space over here that makes it take up two spaces, then we can have three parking spaces over here and still have an ADA spot in front, gain another parking spot.
That can be changed at any time.
Well, are we kind of misusing the term front? Wouldn't the spaces that we have for parking are in the back of the building, along the street? There is no parking in front of the building.
Yeah, there's three parallel
three spaces.
Right in between the two bump outs.
That are 23 feet?
Yeah.
These?
Yeah, because this is the curb, this double line.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see.
See, we bump it out here to cause the trucks and trailers to purposely go out around.
Oh.
Then you got three spaces
here.
Oh, there's
another
here. Bump out. Yeah, you know, so they don't cut across the...
Now, you know, I realize that the sidewalk's already in, and I somehow missed...
Yeah, so that over there, you know, this is going to be the same number. And this is all the ADA, you know, this is how the wheelchair would get around the entrance. But, yeah, you know, we can ask Richard again what the reason was. I remember him saying there's an issue with the width of the sidewalk. And I'm not sure, well, I don't want to say whether... He can legally take up part of a sidewalk as part of a parking space or not.
I realize that this sidewalk right here along the back of the building next to those three parallel car parking spaces is already in. And somehow, I guess that we weren't involved in figuring out the layout of this thing, but I can't understand how come you couldn't have parallel or perpendicular parking along the top of that water line. Because then, the thing that I'm seeing here that I'm concerned about is that we only have a few parking spots around where the hub of activity for the airport is, for administration-wise, and what's going to happen is people aren't going to want to parallel park, and they're not going to want to park in back, they're going to park here in the boat ramp spots.
Why and then that a parallel park?
Just because it's easier to just pull in and pull out instead of parallel park.
I plan on parking back there on Jefferson Street.
But we could get more parking and not have as much of an issue, not as much of a chance of people just parking right here because the parking spots are there.
I think the issue about Jefferson was it's an awful dangerous corner. If you face in trying to back up into traffic, that's a blind corner coming around the corner of the building.
The city basically designed that. That's a city street, so city engineer basically designed those bump outs and stuff. I didn't want those bump outs, but those were kind of...
And we have to have a sidewalk.
They limited the parking as much as they could.
We could have the sidewalk can go anywhere. You know, it could go around the front. In other words, if this is deep...
It'd be better if it went where it is, because it's there.
And I understand.
Yeah,
somehow we missed out.
Point.
Somehow we missed out. No, it's not a moot point. Somehow we missed out on getting in our initial thoughts on parking and the design of this building. Maybe it's because we're just supposed to figure out policy.
Well, the city engineer came down and just...
When I say we, I mean...
...hash out of every good idea that we could possibly come up with.
When I say we, I mean us three. I never got to see any of this parking stuff at all because that would have raised the issue.
But we had something going, but the city engineer came down and just...
I didn't. But let's just forget we. Steve didn't hear anything about the parking and the redesign or the designing of this thing. And so I would have brought up, had I known that this was going to be the way it was designed, that there's going to be a propensity for people to want to park in these spots in the boat ramp. And we're going to put another lane in, which is going to require more parking. And that's going to be even, if we, all this would have just taken is, because there's going to be a sight line clear across here. There's not a building in the way. You can look out there and you can see what's coming around the corner. And I'm thinking that somehow we didn't really get the input in.
If you're parked in here, you can't see because that whole part of the street is blocked by the building itself.
You know, you can see here, and you can see if someone's going around.
You know, Steve, I hear you, but these drawings were sitting on the table in the hallway at our office for
3 months,
4 months, all the different iterations.
And I was in and out of that office many times during those 3 or 4 months, and I'm like, hey, here's what we got. Let's take a look, see what you think.
Hey, Steve.
There's drawings everywhere. There's Jim's table is full of drawings. And I don't go rifling through it to see what they are.
What do you think about the fact that there is quite a few individual parking spots in the trailer parking lot?
Right. And you'll notice that the individual trailer parking spots that are in the parking lot are the designated individual ones are by the water. And then there's some that are convertible spots that if you run out of spots by the water, you can park in the boat trailer ones. Okay, well, what's going to happen is people are going to say, oh, that's a convertible and I can park there even though there's a spot by the water. I won't have to walk so far. And then we're going to have a day like sun, like a crab opening, and people are going to want to park a boat trailer where there's an individual car park, and they're talking to Sue wanting a request for information or something, is just my concerns.
We could control our 10 employees. We could make them park over here if we wanted to. That's not an issue.
I know that, but I'm talking about people that come. I mean, this is the place where everyone that wants to get information about support is going to come. And so they're going to park where they can, and they're going to park here, is what I'm saying. Because we made it, you know, parallel parking is okay. A lot of people, if I have a choice between a pull-in spot and a parallel spot, I'll pull in every time.
I plan on parking on Jefferson Street personally. And there's more than enough parking spaces for all our employees that can be filled without taking any of the parking spaces out on the trucks and trailers.
Yeah, I think that can be addressed by employee policy a little bit, and
there's nothing to prevent us from parking over here.
Point Hudson down there after they put the Ghost Guard spots in down there. Boy, there was never any parking in front of the office ever. You know, so I don't think it's going to be a huge stretch. I mean, I'm not arguing with you, I'm just trying to ease a thing out. I don't think it's going to be a huge stretch for people to park in the individual parking spots, or even come down here and park along the street.
There's nothing to prevent us from parking right up here.
Yeah, I don't think that's going to be that huge of a stretch. I'll be mad if I come to the commission meeting. There's no place for my monster truck.
there's another option, too.
What's that?
There's if you look at the report on the mortgage, haul out yard, the activity in the small yard is reduced it continues to decline. And we could just not park boats in part of this end yard and have that spillover for
parking. Right. That's probably going to be an option we end up taking.
Yeah, I think that's an option we're going to take.
Hey, we're just heading in your direction after we get finished jacking our jaws in here.
Okay, I didn't know we were supposed to come over here.
No, we'll be
right over.
Okay.
Or you can stay here and walk with us.
No. Whatever. We just wanted to get some coffee.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sorry about no donuts.
Yeah, where's the donuts?
I'm on a diet.
Yeah, I think especially with an increased traffic in the boat ramp, that is an option we're going to have to look into, because the parking is very much coming our way. For the boat ramp, with a double ramp, it's that is going to be coming our way.
But we can have the employees park. You know, there's 4 parking spaces right out here, 4 only, and we got 3 spaces here and a couple spaces here, which sometimes are used if pooping is ongoing.
Parking's coming our way in a big way.
And we can park over by the board office too, which is very reasonable.
You're gonna walk for it?
Yeah, I just live up the hill.
And Eric Davis, he never drives down to Fort Hill. He likes or walks. I really think there's plenty of parking. And, and like Dave said, we weren't planning on sidewalks or curbs or anything, until the city came down and said, oh, contrary.
Yeah, we got a memo. You're lucky they didn't put the roundabout in every time.
I'm getting sunglasses.
Is our first review, although I'm not looking for much of a review today, on our rules, regulations. regulations and procedures. We added the word procedure because as we're going through the old set of rules and regs, a significant portion, they weren't really rules or regulations. They were instructing staff how to do something, more of an operations or procedures manual. So we didn't want to break those things out, so we still have the one document, but we added procedures title.
Could we call this an operational document?
No, because there are the rules and regs in there, too. I think this will satisfy us. I'll turn it over to Eric here in a second, but Steve and Leif, you should have gotten an email copy.
In Dropbox.
You got your paper copy. So
that's it. Yeah.
Yeah. And what staff would like to do is kind of talk today about how it's formatted, because that's a significant part of what Eric's been working on is formatting, what's in it, what's not in it, and kind of give ourselves this coming 30 days or so to read it and go through it. And then at the next workshop, the August workshop, we can go in like we did with personnel handbook, and say, okay, page 14, line 3, change this word or whatever, and see how we go from there. So,
oh, yeah, I've got a change I'd like to throw in the personnel handbook.
Okay. We've got on the meeting this afternoon for adoption, but it's a change that we can.
Okay.
Yeah, we can adopt it with.
We can approve with changes.
Right, with whatever change. But Eric, you want to take us through it?
So, as Larry said, a significant portion of the work was sort of trying to tease apart what we had and reorganize it and put it in a format and organizational framework that would make more sense and be easier to follow. The ultimate objective of the work here is that we have a document that's somewhat like many of the municipal codes that you see online, where you have hot-linked sections, so that instead of somebody pawing through, without any hint as to where to find something in the existing hard copy rules and regulations or the PDF that's available online, you would instead look at the kind of the title and chapter framework to identify the section that was relevant to the question that you had, then go to that chapter, and then there are section headings within that chapter that help you to narrow it down further. So the object is to help the reader locate what it is that they're looking for. Obviously, a keyword search would assist in that as well. There's very little in the way of new regulation. In fact, I don't think there is anything that's really new whole cloth, with the exception of the city dock and union wharf provisions. And even those aren't really new, because they're really just a recodification and revision of what the city already has on the books with respect to those facilities. The purpose for including them here is in part to ensure that we're managing those facilities in a way that is consistent with project agreements and special conditions in those project agreements with the Recreation and Conservation Office. Yes?
Can you tell me why some of these things are underlined and some are not?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, it's bill format. So this is in the format of a draft piece of legislation with strikeouts depicting existing language, which is proposed for deletion, double underlining is proposed new language.
That's what I thought. Okay, so in other words, double underlining isn't the hypertext.
No, that's all new. We deleted that and just put in facility.
That's what I thought, but I wasn't positive.
Yeah. We've also tried to go through in each section and provide kind of a bracketed comment as to where this was previously, so that if you want to, you can go back and look at the legislative history and see where it came from originally and compare it to the original language. So, over time, after this is formally promulgated and by Larry, each year when changes are made, those bracketed comments will also be revised. So you can see that it was, you know, revised by version, you know, 2.1, December 21st, 2015, or whatever. So you can go back to prior iterations of the rules and regulations and see how a particular provision has changed, if at all, over time. So a lot of the changes are really just to try to make existing language a little bit more clear rather than undertake substantive changes to the rules themselves. So a lot of the changes that you see are really just editorial in nature rather than substantive. There are some a number of court procedures, and even in some cases some informal rules, for instance those that pertain to the Point Hudson RV Park, that were never formally codified here. And so those are shown in double underlining here as new text, although they are in fact the rules that staff have been applying and implementing for quite a number of years. So maintenance, moorage, yard staff all have copies of this as well, and they're busily going through and hopefully are going to have additional comments for us prior to the August workshop. However, they did weigh in as this was coming together, and so we tried as best we could to implement changes that they saw as being necessary within this draft. I guess that's really it for now. There are a number of reserved titles and chapters and even sections. There's just sort of placeholders. It's good practice so that you don't necessarily have to go through, and when you add a new title that might fit better in one section of the code, so you don't have to go through necessarily and renumber the entirety of the rules and regulations. So I guess the upshot is this. What's new is the organizational framework. Pretty much all of the section, chapter, and title headings are new, but they're not regulatory. So a lot of times you'll find, a title to a section that almost reads like a regulation. It's not. And I think the general provisions make that clear. It's the substantive text below the heading that is regulatory in nature. And the section heading is there just to enable the reader to locate the relevant provision. So all of these are new. For instance, launch fees, short-term moorage, throughout the entirety of the code, those are all kind of new titles for each section, chapter, and title. And the one missing link at this point are the forms, the appendices, and we're still working on those. And there are, I think, will be some text amendments here to make cross references to relevant forms that we intend to include as appendices that are not identified in the text right now. For instance, the standard mortgage tenancy agreement, the guest mortgage license and port use agreement that we have, the yard use agreement, haul out, best management practices, quite a number of those provisions are going to be included as appendices. And I guess one final note is that there were a number of things in the current draft that were identified as appendices, but they were actually rules and regulations. So those were pulled out and put within the body text of the rules and regulations and omitted from the appendices. But you'll see notes, bracketed notes to that effect as to where certain provisions came from. So that, in a nutshell, is kind of where we are, and hopefully in the end, although it's not a shorter document, it will be a more user-friendly document and one that's more accessible.
Well, what I like is the way Eric has organized it, like the RV parks. You know, it's a separate section, so if that's all your question is about, you don't need to worry about the rest of the document. You go straight to that one. And you notice under Title VII, docks and wharves, we've added city dock and union wharf.
Right.
You know, so that's been taken into account.
We've added the airport to this, which was a
right.
separate document.
That used to be a totally separate document.
Right.
So
it's a doozy, 146 pages without appendices. You know, I don't think there would be any other way to deal with it unless we organize this one.
Yeah.
And right now it's just going to be used by the people that are enforcing these regulations to prove that there is such a regulation.
Right. It's not something you're looking your every citizen or tenant to. Yeah. You know, it's if they have a question, then obviously we can point them to the chapter and verse that deals with that, or staff to verify something, and then go to the individual or business that's concerned.
Well, I do think this needs to be codified, posted on our website.
It'll be
searchable and everything on the website. So.
Well, it was a real education just reading the old rule when I became a commission, because I had no idea there was such an exhausted document.
Well, it's like if you look at city code or county code or state code, most regulations are created because something once upon a time happened.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you write a new rule or reg to cover that incident, and it may never happen again, but that tends to be how things work. The other thing is we really need to be diligent that under my delegation of authority, I have the authority to modify this as well as the personal handbook, but as I think changes are made, I feel that I should inform you guys, and you know, unless you have any issue with it, then we'll make those changes. We gave Tammy, Doug, and Larry Ozzie copies on Tuesday morning for them to go through with their people and give us feedback, so we have that working as well. But it's a good start. Hopefully we can kind of get the 95% solution at the next workshop, but maybe some less tinkering, and maybe a second meeting in August or first meeting in September, we can adopt it and move on to the next project.
Yeah, this was a big project.
Mm-hmm.
And Eric put a lot of time in here, so.
And as you read it, perhaps you'll have a similar refrain going through your head to mine, which was like sands through the hourglass, so many days of my life.
Great, is that boring?
So one of my ideas, and I don't know if it would be a commission decision, I think that what I'd like to do is incorporate staff's comments first over the next 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think we should put it online as a draft and see if anyone else wants insomnia to leave and read it.
It's a good idea.
Comments from that point before you deliberate whether this is something.
That's fine. That would be appropriate
because
I doubt if you'll get much response.
Yeah, but it's there. Someone wants to read it.
But it is proper full disclosure and transparency and all that.
I think we should also send a notice out to all the guys on PSAC that it's out there, so they'll not just have to stumble across it. Right. They actually know that it's there, and actually put maybe an announcement somewhere, like in the paper.
Well, we got another newsletter
coming up.
When's that coming up?
Sue said it's not until late summer.
Yeah.
It's getting there.
I was thinking that it was even in.
Yeah. Well, we could, in our 1 August billing to our tenants, we could put a little notice that, go online if you want to see the update of our rules, regulations, and procedures.
Yeah, we should also put a notice, unless we have a way of, did we ever get that database of the boat trailer users where they have all their names and addresses, they can be notified also? Because there's more than just tenants. would have an interest in what these rules are.
We don't have email. We're striving to get email addresses for people so we can just shoot them an email. But a lot of people protect their email, which I understand. So that's been a little harder.
Yeah, I think, in other words, instead of just sending it out to people in a monthly bill, people like BoatRamp users, they don't get a monthly bill, but they're here a lot, and they're...
Well, what we could do is, you know, if they are willing to provide an email address, you know, tell them that we'll keep informed of updates and changes to the port.
Well, we can just put a little notice in the newspaper. There's an online, new regulations, check in, see what you think.
This may be a topic at the Small Ports Conference this fall, too.
No?
Not our specific one, but rules and regulations in general. You know, they always try to tackle one or two project or topics like that for port districts to talk about and bring examples of what you have kind of thing to help each other out. So that's really about it at this point. Unless we want to keep on talking and talk about a couple other things, I don't have to.
Go ahead, Larry.
Well, Leaf called me the other day, and I've been sending and putting copies in your box on the ADA issue or question that we received at the last meeting. I'm putting a packet together, at least request of a couple of different things. One, I sent an email out to the Washington Public Ports Association, to the Marina Committee, to see if anybody had heard of, you know, any special rates, et cetera. And also to NMTA, Peter Schrappen was on vacation over the holidays. I got an email on Monday saying he was back and he would query private marinas, see if any private marinas are doing anything. So we're still gathering that information, but I'll compile that. So far, nobody has ever heard of anything. Except some boat ramp operators, if you have an ADA placard on your vehicle, they'll give you free parking. A lot of other boat ramps, you know, tie their boat ramp fee to parking as well. The other thing we're doing is we're researching, just what is the ADA, the American Disabilities Act, say. It's a federal law. And it was interesting, as telling Leaf and Dave earlier before you got here, Steve. Question, are alcoholics covered by ADA? Answer, yes. An alcoholic is a person with a disability and is protected by the American Disabilities Act. So one of the issues, and some of the other marine operators brought it up, is how do you regulate and administer any policy, because the Disabilities Act also forbids anybody from questioning someone about their disability. So if somebody sails in and says, I'm disabled, we have to take them at their word. We can't ask them what their disability is or anything else. And I'm still not sure, you brought it up, Steve. Part of the time I thought he was asking for a designated slip.
Yeah.
You know, well, that's one of the things we want to do in the report is
define
his requests.
Right, because, you know, if we designate a 30-foot slip, but the next ADA person's got a 45-foot boat, you know, that's going to be hard to administer.
That was something he wanted to bring up later. His point was at that meeting was just for the boat ramp.
And also for some kind of a portable step. But I'm not sure if that portable step was designed for the boat ramp or designed to be wheeled around all the docks on the voyage or whatever.
Do you do one on every sea dock, D dock, AB dock?
Well, before we start making the choices here, we need to define what we're talking about. And that's where I spoke to you about getting that definition in and out. And we can also use that for a response to the citizen that asked for a response on that issue.
And the other thing, with all the improvements we've done in the marinas from Point Hudson to the AB dock, we've got hundreds, plural, of thousands of dollars into ADA infrastructure. Every gangway at Point Hudson meets the new ADA requirement for marinas. And those are expensive. We're talking plus for gangway. And, you know, we did the same thing for AB dock, and all the state ADA law requires that if you build a new marina or do a significant rehab, like Point Hudson or the AB dock, it has to be, a section has to be ADA accessible, i.e. a gangway. We didn't have to do all three gangways at Point Hudson be ADA accessible. One would have been sufficient to meet the law, but we went ahead and spent the extra money to do all of them. So I'll put a list of all that together too, what we've already invested in. So we'll have that.
So we'll have a pretty comprehensive response for Mr. Beasel, and then we can make some decisions.
We'll probably take another couple of weeks here because, again, MTA hasn't sent me anything. So.
Right. So just to be clear, there's no, like, when you park in a handicapped parking spot, you have little, either a license plate or a window hanger. There's no such thing for, I mean, just saying you're disabled, you don't have a card like from the IRS that says you're on disability.
Not required,
no, in other words, I can come up and say I'm disabled. And I could be lying through my teeth.
We had an incident about a year and a half ago with a lady in the restroom right here with two dogs. And in fact, Terry waited outside because somebody complained, there were dogs in the restroom. So Terry waited outside for her to come out and said, we don't allow dogs in the restrooms, in the shower area. And she said, they're my service dogs. And Terry started to question her about it and says, you can't do that. And sure enough, you can't do that. If you want to take your dog in the restroom and say it's a service dog, we got to take it to work, believe it or not. So.
Well, yeah.
Anyway.
We just have to cross that bridge when we come to it. One question I had for you and Jim is that, how are we doing on our stormwater monitoring, our environmental results here in the yard?
Al has been very, very diligent in doing new things, new ways of monitoring, working with Terry on ways things have been done. All our numbers are doing actually pretty well. Our zinc's still high, copper's down, copper's totally under, but zinc is up 20%. And we can't really figure out where all the zinc's coming from, but it's a lot.
Well, in the meeting you guys had with the biochar guy, didn't he talk about roof runoff and so forth? Was being a lot of
90% of the roofs are coated.
Yeah, some of the older buildings, like Mark Burns' building, which is one of the old railroad buildings, probably chain link fencing still a source of zinc contamination. Of course, zinc's
well bottom paint, even.
Yeah, and a lot of bottom paint has zinc in it. We the industry expect the next rewrite of the boatyard permit. You know, the target has been copper.
Mm-hmm.
And copper has kind of been defeated in that, you know, we got legislation now banning copper bottom paint after a certain period of time, et cetera. Plus they did the brake pad legislation, letting copper be used brake pads after a certain date. Zinc will probably be the next target. We'll see some stiffer rules on zincs. We'll see where that goes. But
we're working with a scientist that we at the energy lunch
mm-hmm.
with biochar.
Right.
And John from Oregon, I believe you were in that presentation, actually has been up, worked the yard with us, is coming up with a proposal on how we can use biochar either pre-storm RX or post in a separate bin. He's guaranteeing that the purpose of biochar is to get rid of zinc, things like zinc.
Right.
So we may do a test. Yeah, I told Al to go with the DOE and some other areas, see if we can get maybe $5,000 or $10,000 in grant money to do a test. Yeah, I'll hook up a bin of the biochar to say the outflow of one of our RX systems. Yeah, I'll test it coming out of the RX and then test it coming out of the biochar and see what the difference is and do that.
You can do it
over a period of time.
Yeah, charcoal. It's a controlled charcoal.
Well, the other nice thing, this is an opportunity.
It's a byproduct of?
Well, the paper mill.
Yeah.
They got a lot of biochar, so we've got it locally available. We'd have to do some testing of the quality of the biochar. But that would be a great partnership between the mill and us, you know, they're making the biochar because it's a byproduct of their process, and suddenly we're repurposing some of it. Yeah, we don't need tons of it, but mm-hmm. you know, still. So maybe we can run a test this time of year. It's hard to do it, but come
fall. No rain.
Yeah.
Actually, the mill is not really a total waste product at the mill. It still has energy
some,
in it.
Some
so
energy.
They reburn it.
Yeah.
But, you know, they reburn tons of it. We need pounds of it.
Yeah, we're talking a few wheelbarrow pulls. So.
Yeah.
And what we don't know is even if it works, is it something that you can do that and it's good for 6 months, or you're going to have to change it out every 2 weeks, or, you know, because at some point it'll get saturated with the zinc or whatever else. Pulling it out.
And so then I guess my next question is, what do you do with the zinc saturated biochar? You just bag it up and throw it, take it to a landfill?
You put it in the hazardous waste stream.
No, it's not a hazmat.
It's not?
Let me ask John that. He says because it binds it, and all the pores bind it, but it's not a hazardous material.
You take it to the landfill? Mm-hmm.
And the other thing, by doing a test, it shows Department of Ecology that we're trying.
We're being proactive.
We're being proactive. We're out there pushing the envelope kind of thing. Because what they don't like are the boatyards that are just sitting there and not doing, you know, they're not putting in RX systems, they're not trying other mechanisms, they're not putting into effect best management practices, they're not using tarps, they're, you know, all those things. So if you're constantly showing that you're being proactive, that keeps the dogs away as well. But it'll be exciting. We'll see if we can get a little bit of grant money to try it out. We ain't got nothing else.
Well, let's go home.
Yeah.
1 o'clock. Regular meeting.